Testing. Okay, here we go. My name is Thomas. I'm trying to find my way back, and this is the Walk and Talk. I am officially back out of exile. My mother-in-law left, and she was shipped to the airport very early in the night by my wife. And I can breathe again a little bit. Yesterday, I was kind of like supposed to be around, but not come back to the house to stay as far away as possible. Didn't really work out, but I managed to stay clear of any major conflict. It was cute because it happened in a way that was very, very adorable. I was out because there's this new area that the town council is planting. It's going to be like kind of a park, kind of a wild area. It's going to be a super cool project. And I was out there with my video camera, flying around with the drone. And at some point when the whole thing was about to be over and there's just a few trees left to plant, I was hunting with this recorder actually for one of the guys who is kind of taking charge on this project to get him to say a few words about it, to just put in the video. And suddenly I get a call from my wife and I'm like, shit, is this another SOS? And she's like, look behind you. And I'm turning around and like across the field, which is basically just a plowed earth dirt field right now because we're planting, comes my wife and my kid running, like, and we're talking like 100, 200 feet away, like, wow. And my kid is just running, like, she has to get to daddy. It's adorable. And my wife is like, stop walking away. We're trying to get to you and you keep walking away from us. I'm like, oh, sorry. I didn't realize that you were going to be here. So they actually managed to get to the event, even though they weren't really sure that they were going to come, especially because I didn't want my mother-in-law to participate. But they came, just the two of them, which was really, really sweet. And there was a tree left that they helped plant, so they got their own tree. My daughter has her own little tree in this new area. It's going to be cool. And because they showed up, my wife was like, she's been asking for you all day. Like, where's daddy? Where's daddy? Aren't you coming home? And I'm like, no, that's the whole point. I'm not coming home. And she was like, but now that she's seen you, you kind of have to come back home. So I was like, okay, but one of the other guys in charge of this new area just invited me over for coffee to hang out and just chill after the planting. So let's go there first. And I was like, it was interesting because the neural reconditioning that I have been pushing on myself about standing up and taking charge and doing things my way started kicking in. Because I was like, okay, you want to go home after the planting and bring me with you? Great. But I have another thing that I want to do first. And I'm going to do that. And you can participate if you want, or you can head home. But I'm going to do that. And I have a feeling that the spineless guy that started out this walk and talk, he wouldn't have said that. He would have just caved and said, oh shit, now I have to go home. Fuck it. I'll just give up on all the other things that I wanted to do. But I'm not there anymore. and the insisting stand up for yourself, you fucking idiot, seems to be gradually moving some boundaries. That was good. So we went and we hung out and we had coffee and talked to some of the other guys, and some of their kids were there and they were playing around, and my daughter was like 2-3 years older than those kids, so she was having a bit of a hard time participating, but she wanted to, and I helped her out a little bit. They were playing with the guy's dog and throwing a ball, and she was like, I want to throw the ball as well. I was like, okay, let's go intervene and grab the ball for you, and I'll help you throw it so you can also participate a little bit. And we were having a fairly good time. It was fun. It was nice. And it was what I chose to do. And they were there. And it was funny because there was like four boys, like age, I don't know, 6 to 8, something like that. And they were very loud and they were very rowdy. And at some point, my wife was like, I don't like that they're yelling so much. It's giving me a headache. I want to go home. And I'm like, let's just hang out a little bit more. Like, I don't really care. They don't bother me. So why don't you just chill a bit? Again, trying to not be pushed around by someone else. And I was like, they're boys. They're loud. Boys are loud. Especially boys who grow up on farms and run away, climb trees, like, they get very loud. And I felt like my onset of the day had been, This is what I choose to do. This is what I want to do day, and I'm going to do it no matter what. So I kept having this, like, you might feel like this or you might want to do this, but this is now, it's nice, now it's my turn. And I sympathize with the fact that stuff is going on, that you have feelings, obviously, but they're not my feelings. And I feel like I'm getting slightly better at this, ever so slightly, to be like, okay, you are feeling anxious, or you're feeling, I don't know, and something unpleasant is happening to you, but it's not happening to me. And I can sympathize. I can say, oh yeah, they're loud or whatever, or I want to hang out and drink coffee with these guys who just planted some trees. And maybe you don't want to, or maybe you don't like that there's loud boys playing around, but those are not my feelings. Those are yours, and I am not in charge of those feelings. They're not mine. And at some point, I felt like my daughter was getting a little fed up being there, and it was getting a little later in the day. So I felt like it was me who decided to leave, not being pushed to go. And that was great. And me and my daughter walked away in the with the pram, and my wife got the car keys and took the car, because that was parked over by the field. And me and my daughter walked home, and at some point we saw this little sign that there was someone having of a little flea market. It was like three girls who were selling some of their old toys. And I'm like, that's okay. Let's make a detour. it's me and my daughter out walking, my wife will, like, be okay if we're not walking straight home. There's nothing we have to do. And this is me time. Also, I don't really feel like rushing home to meet my mother-in-law. So definitely take a detour. And we did, and we hung a little bit, looked and browsed, and my daughter got some toys. I got a toy as well. I got this little, like the Star Wars Mandalorian show has this little mini Yoda guy who's called Grogu. And they were selling one. Actually, a fairly advanced one, I found out, with batteries that moves and talks and whatever, and they were selling it for dirt cheap, obviously not knowing what they had. But it was cute, and fortunately, once we made our way home, we went into the garden. Mother-in-law wasn't there. And then she and my wife came out. And my wife had, because of the previous encounters and because I spoke my mind, figured out that it's not wise to leave me and her mother alone. So when they came out, she was very nicely helping, trying to do stuff with her mother somewhere and encouraged me and my daughter to go and play on our own. And so we managed to be all four of us in the garden without me actually having to spend time with my mother-in-law. And it was brilliant. And you know what? She did stuff that's like typically her. Like, I know my wife wanted to ask her when she was there to help pitch in with new flower bed and help us buy some flowers for it. And she's cheap. She's incredibly cheap. And it's not that she doesn't have money, because she spends so much money on herself. I think she has three iPads right now. She has two Mac computers, two Windows computers, one of the latest iPhones, the Apple Watch. Like, she goes berserk with gadgets, and not cheap gadgets. She buys really expensive stuff. And she likes spending money on herself, but she does not want to spend money on anyone else. So I was kind of giggling inside when I saw that she had purchased some of the discounted flowers they sell at the supermarket down the road. Some of the ones that have been neglected and are dying. She bought those for us. It was like, there you go, you can have dead flowers and plant them in your garden and maybe they'll survive, but you can't have nice flowers. And so she bought that and three fruit trees, which we don't need. but it's funny, right? Because she looks, and that's so typically her. She listens to what you want, and then she goes and buys something else, or helps out in a way that is completely useless to you, but makes it look like she's doing something good. So she bought a what's it called? Blackberries that like grow like crazy. Like, they grow like weeds here, and I already have two, and I'm trying to keep them under control. She bought me one more. It's like, I'm probably going to take that and plant that in the new community garden. Because I don't want one more in my own garden. Also, that the thing that we've been working on very hard in our own garden were specifically meant to be a flower bed, because we have another section in the garden that we want at some point to make into like fruit trees and whatever. It is just not ready yet, and it probably won't be for some time. So anyways, that's typically her. But I kind of laughed at it, and I was like, but I've encountered this so many times now, that this is just how she operates, that I've stopped giving a shit. And also, like, this whole walk and talk about standing up for yourself. I mean, one of the things that I keep coming back to is, like, don't care. Stop caring so much. Like, yeah, she has money. She could buy so many flowers that you had this beautiful garden, and it wouldn't hurt her economy whatsoever. Whereas we are struggling just buying a few plants to put in there. But it doesn't matter, because it doesn't matter. Like, she can do whatever she wants with her own money. And also, I don't really want to interact with her, so why should I even bother? And obviously my wife did, because the flowers came, even though they were half dead. And you know what? At least me and my daughter had an activity, because the flowers were there. No one had planted them. So me and my daughter put some half-dead flowers in the ground. And if they sprout, if they survive, that's okay. If they don't, I actually don't care. And so another thing, because that's just a relief that that's over, and that I can feel like the last day I managed to stay within my own emotions and not care. And luckily I didn't encounter anything that made me care, like the day before. But one thing that was interesting, it's very interesting, is that my daughter was having a hard time. And she was behaving in a way that was a little bit peculiar, because one thing is that she was clingy on me. I mean, she obviously missed me, and I knew that was going to happen, and that's okay. I'm away, she misses me. I come back, she wants to spend a lot of time with me. No worries, we were having a great time. But in the evening, when she was getting tired, at some point, my wife and my mother-in-law wanted her to participate in their goodbye ritual. And I know that their goodbye ritual is something that I stay away from like the plague. I have encountered it a few times. And it's like, whenever either of my wife's parents have been visiting, but mainly my mother-in-law, the last evening is an emotional train wreck. It's like, I don't want to go, but I've had enough, and I want to go home, but I'm going to miss you, and oh my God, did we do everything, and we need to pack, and I can't figure out how to pack my own bags. That's my mother-in-law. And my wife is going berserk, because she feels like both that she is a child, but she also have to take care of my mother-in-law, who for some reason, even though she is 70 years old, haven't figured out how to pack her own bags, and can't make traveling arrangements on her own, which is insane. So she relies a lot on my wife to help out with these things. And that whole song and dance is a minefield. And it's also interesting because when it comes to that evening of I'm about to leave, like, emotions obviously run high, and my grandmother feels like, sorry, not my grandmother, Holly's grandmother. Holly's grandmother feels like, my mother-in-law feels like, Jesus, it's not my grandmother. She feels like there's a lot of things she didn't get to do, and now she wants to do it double, which also means she wants the hugs and the physical connections and the prolonged, tear-filled, goodbye-ish kind of stupid shenanigans. And it's like she plays a part. I mean, my mother-in-law is a great actress. She actually almost went professional at one point, and she still plays at an amateur level. And she likes putting on a show. And I don't know, but something triggered my daughter, and she started misbehaving. And she started biting, and she started hitting. And she usually never does that. And I'm pretty sure it was just like she couldn't handle the emotional pressure of being in that scenario. Like, just like me, I can't stand it. I stay away from that as far as I can. And I was at that point after dinner, which fortunately my mother-in-law was sleeping through. She was having an afternoon nap because she was tired, thank God. Or whoever you think. Anyways, so she woke up and that whole song and dance started, and I went out into the garden to water the half-dead flowers. I think one of two things happened. Either my daughter was responding like me to the emotional and psychological pressure it is to be part of that ritual, which I think is absolutely horrible. I think it's a horrible way of ending a trip. And also, so it's either just responding to be within that pressure cooker, or it might be that I've been away from her group, which probably made her question what is her group, because suddenly I'm out and my mother-in-law is in. And my mother-in-law is definitely, she tries to be an alpha. She tries to be the leader of the pack. And she does it in this backwards, backstabbing, trying to be victim. Like, she tries to be put on a pedestal because she feels like it's her prerogative. It's like, it's not like she's earning it by standing up and taking charge. She feels like she's owed it. So the group constellation while I was gone, I'm sure, was very different. And as a kid, I'm sure she was trying to figure out, is this my new normal? Did daddy move out and did someone take his place? And now that I'm back in the house, she's confused. Who is Alpha? Because I choose, when she's around, to not be Alpha. I cannot be in charge of the group when she's there because it raises too many conflicts. I've tried it before, and it is a nightmare. And my wife has told me, please don't do that. Because her mother gets very offended and gets very hurt when I take charge and I put her in her place. So I have promised to not do that. And also right now, I don't think it's anything that I would like to do because it would raise a shit ton of conflict. So I stay away. I hover on the border. I don't take back my place in the group. And the interesting thing was that my daughter put us in the right places. So at some point, I came back in after watering the flowers. My wife was like super upset that my daughter was misbehaving, and she really can't handle it when she starts being physically aggressive. She feels like it's an assault on her. She can't deal with it. She has a really hard time. So she turns to me and is like, "What am I supposed to do?" And she almost starts crying when the kid, who's like hardly three, starts physically misbehaving like this. And we calmed her down, and this weird little thing happened. My daughter decided to play a little game. She wanted mommy and daddy physically close. She wanted to be in the middle. And once that happened, she wanted to crawl around to be cats. And she likes doing that. She likes pretending she's an animal, but she likes being underneath either one of us. So one of us has to crawl around on all fours, and she goes in between our arms and legs, mainly arms, and she stays in there because then she is where she's supposed to be. And she likes playing around. She goofs around. So she likes running a little bit in front, and you have to grab her leg and pull her back under you. So we did that a little bit. And then she was like, "Okay, now we have to lie down because it's bedtime. Let's do the ritual." And obviously, this is also a game that she plays because she knows that no one sleeps on the floor in the living room. But she starts, she feels like, it looks like she feels like it's her job to set things straight. So mommy and daddy on the floor, and she completely ignores her grandmother, who's sitting on the table, and I realized to my horror at some point, videoing the whole thing on her iPad. And I'm like, "Oh, come on, stop documenting this. This is just, let's just be present with the kid that's trying to work through some things here." And my daughter starts like grabbing pillows first. Like, all three of us has to have our own individual pillow so we can lie down comfortably. And once we each have a pillow and lie down, she gets back up because now everyone has to have a blanket. And she finds two blankets. She almost starts crying because there's no third blanket. And my wife, luckily, I mean, we have a few blankets laying around. She finds a third blanket. So, okay, crisis averted. All three have a blanket. Lay back down. And she snuggles in. And then she's like, "Oh no, we all need a teddy bear." So all three of us gets a teddy bear. And everyone gets a teddy bear that is kind of her, she picks out a teddy bear that resonates with each one of us. Like something that each one of us on an energy level, like, is significant for us. It has to be the right one. And then we lie down, and she's safe. The group has been reestablished. And the grandmother is on the table, completely ignored. She's not offered anything. It's sweet because my wife actually says, "Oh, shouldn't you also come lie down? And then she can give you something." And in my mind, I'm like, "No. You're looking at this as a game that the kid is playing. This is not a game. This is the kid dealing with her emotions. This is instead of her trying to figure out what is wrong, why is everything different, like, and why is there this painful atmosphere of like crazy emotions, and can we just please lie down on the ground, the three of us, and just relax? And it's so interesting when you encounter kids that behave like this, because I think most people would just say, like, kind of like my grandmother picking out her iPad and started recording it, oh my god, this is the cutest little game that the kid is playing. And I'm like, actually, I don't think this is a cute game. I think this is a matter of survival. This is her reestablishing a group constellation, her core group that she was afraid was falling apart. And she is now taking charge of putting it back together, because she's somehow feeling that we're not capable of doing that on our own. And she's right. With the grandmother, the mother-in-law, sitting there as a fucking douchebag with an iPad documenting a very tender moment, which I actually didn't want documented whatsoever. Sitting there laughing and having a good time because the kid is playing an adorable little game. And I have a feeling that if I wasn't doing this process, if I didn't somehow like tap into the emotions of being out of the group and wanting to fight to get back in the group, I don't think I would have recognized what it was. And it's incredible how an almost 3-year-old on an instinctive level will disregard whatever's going on. Obviously, she doesn't really know what an iPad is, but she does realize that if we point a phone at her, that there's pictures taken. But she disregards it. This is important. This is tantamount to the group survival. Everyone gets a blanket and a pillow and a teddy, and we lay down on the ground together and give each other a hug. There we go. Group reestablished. Safety reestablished. And this morning, when after I gave the kid to the nursery, she was doing an okay time. She was having a little bit hard time letting go of daddy, which is fairly normal when she hasn't seen me for a while, or I've been busy working. She gets clingy, but she was okay. And I come back and my wife is home after giving away my mother-in-law, after driving her to the airport, and she luckily decides not to talk too much about what has been going on. I don't feel like I need to talk too much about what has been going on with me either, and we're both a little tired because my daughter all night was having a hard time because she's probably allergic to the pollen that the trees are giving out like crazy right now. So neither of us really slept very well, and we were just like, should we just go back to bed now and take it easy? And I'm like, yeah. And you know what? I feel like we need to take off our clothes and just lie there naked and hugging, because we need to reestablish our own little group. And my wife was like, no, but I'm tired and I don't wanna. And I'm like, doesn't matter. It's what I want, and we're doing it. And it was really nice. And it was, again, just doing what's right. And you know what? Maybe that's, I mean, that little win about doing what's right, disregarding or not necessarily like taking other people's emotions into account, but saying, this is important to me. Come on. Don't be a pushover. That's a little win right there. And I think for the rest of the day, I think today is just about reestablishing my chosen group and just take it easy, because the last week has been a lot of stuff going on. So anyways, thanks for listening, if anyone's listening. And if not, this is going to be safe in my pocket. Bye-bye.